This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Welcome to Heart and Soul with me, Lauren Booth, your place to reflect. These days, it's not easy to find something so dynamic yet deep that you can stay glued to it together as a family. But my guest today has managed to make space for thought that speaks to all our hearts. Carmel Salah is a Muslim YouTuber based in Sydney, Australia, and he first captured the attention of Muslims worldwide with his series of spoken word videos online. Now, these portray the Islamic perspective on a range of contemporary topics, and his most notable videos include The Meaning of Life, which we will be hearing during the show, and Nothing to Do with My Prophet. He studied both media and law at Macquarie University in Sydney, and he continues to look for new, innovative ways to express himself and his faith through art. Welcome, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I'm really fascinated by this combination of dynamic poetry and faith. How did that come about for you? What was your journey to that route to speak to people?
SubhanAllah, to be honest with you, it was a kind of a coincidence, I must say. You know, when I was not practicing, I might say about 10 years ago when I was, you know, getting into university, just coming out of high school, I was, like, extremely indulged into, like, the entertainment industry, hip-hop, rap videos. To be honest with you, that was the main reason why I had studied media to begin with. You know, as you said, you know, I studied media at university. I actually went into media so I can potentially go into the entertainment industry one day. But subhanAllah, you know, as Allah decides and as Allah wills, Alhamdulillah, he had guided me. So by the time I had, you know, realized that my intentions were not so well, Allah had guided me to actually start using this talent for something better. And subhanAllah, it was a mere coincidence that I just got into poetry because I really wanted to make videos to express Islam, and poetry was just one of the ways that I stumbled across. And alhamdulillah, it turned out to be effective, and Allah had blessed me through it, and you know, I am where I am now, alhamdulillah.
Let's talk a little bit about, you said that the intention wasn't great. There's nothing wrong with going to work in the media. What was wrong with that?
Oh, look, to be honest with you, it wasn't necessarily media I wanted to get into. So when I actually enrolled into media at the beginning, I wanted to get into, like, the hip-hop scene. I wanted to get into directing music videos. And to be honest with you, the majority of which we find today is not necessarily the most halal or Islamic, you know, kind of field to work in as a practicing Muslim. So I had realized that this wasn't the best option to take, and alhamdulillah, I went into, like, the Islamic side of it, which, you know, my story is actually on YouTube, and many, many funny things happened along this way.
Well, tell us a few of those.
Well, to be honest with you, I had always dreamed of one day featuring a music video on this very, very famous hip-hop website. And, you know, my dream was to one day direct a music video to feature on this website because it was, like, the number one most prominent hip-hop website of all time. And I would always talk to my friends about one day I'm going to make a music video for this website, and I would always be, like, the number one, viewer of this website. Mm-hmm. And then subhanAllah, you know, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he teaches us that those who give up something for, you know, for the sake of their religion or for the sake of their faith, Allah will take that which with that which is better. And alhamdulillah, you know, what could I say? After the first or second day of uploading my first ever spoken word video, they had actually featured it on the front page of this hip-hop website that I had, wow, you know, often so dreamed of, you know, being a part of. And, you know, it's nothing short of a sign that Allah will replace whatever you give up for His sake. And, you know, many, many of these incidents popped up in my life which kept on reminding me of the importance of, you know, continuing this pursuit, using the media, but using it for good.
What was the cleansing process of your heart and your behaviours and the impact on your daily life of suddenly or gradually starting to pray five times a day? Let's say you're at university and you're involved with all your friends and, you know, you're doing fun stuff, normal stuff, everyday stuff, legal things. What was the impact of changing?
To be honest with you, it's a very common journey that many people go through. I was kind of forced into the religious circles. I'll cut a long story short. So basically, I used to go to one university, and when I was at this university, I was kind of, you know, a popular kid. I would avoid at all costs, you know, the Muslim circles, the Islamic groups, the Islamic societies. I would avoid them at all costs and just try to hang around with the cool kids that used to go out, have fun, you know, in non-Islamic environments. So if they would go to parties that would have alcohol or things that were haram in our religion. So basically, when I went to a new university, I was left with no more of my old friends that I had known from the past university. So I had to enroll into a new university, and I was left with I'm embarrassed to say, but I was left with, you know, little to no friends. So slowly but surely, I was introduced into a few of the Muslim kids, and they were like really, really friendly. They would take me under their wing. They would invite me to dinner, take me out.
Didn't it seem really boring? You know, after your spicy, exciting life.
I would be dead set honest with you. Although I used to go out a lot with my friends in the past, and we used to, you know, go to what many would think are exciting and fun places, I never used to be content. So I would be, you know, this is me being, you know, brutally honest with you, I was never actually happy. Mm. The fact of the matter is the only reason I used to go out or hang out with my friends in these environments was solely because I felt, or at least, you know, Shaitan had confused me and had made me believe that if I was not to hang around with these people, I would be left with no friends. So I was like, you know, just hang out with them, it's better than being alone. So I never used to really, really enjoy going out, but I'll just pretend to be really enjoying myself. I would much rather have been at home on those nights, but you know, the shaitan would confuse you and really whisper into your ears and make you feel like you should be with here, because if you're not with them, you're going to have no friends. And so when I eventually left those friends, you know, the shaitan had actually started to work on his whispering. All right, look, now you've got no more friends, you've got no one. And, you know, he would constantly whisper into me, it's time to go back to your old friends, it's time to go back to your old ways. But subhanAllah, within a short amount of time, you know, those old friends were replaced with new friends, and if it wasn't just, you know, new friends, it was like many, 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 many friends had came into my life. And, you know, the whisper of the shaitan, the trick of the shaitan that I would be lonely was, you know, very, very, very far from the truth.
I feel like we should introduce everybody at this point to your poetry with one that has moved so many with its deep questions. We're going to take a break now to hear The Meaning of Life.
What are we doing here? And where are we gonna go? It's like we just woke up one morning, and then it's welcome to the show. Don't ask any questions, just go with the flow. Make as much money as you can, and try your best not to get broke. Copy everything you see on the TV, from the hairstyles to the clothes. And don't think too often, just do exactly as you're told. And if you ever get confused, then just turn towards the alcohol. You'll still hear your thoughts, then just turn up the radio as you learn to live a lifestyle of drugs, sex, and rock and roll. But in all honesty, I just need to know, is there more to the cycle than growing and getting old? living and dying just to leave behind a happy home and a whole lot of property that somebody else is going to own. I just really need to know before the casket's closed, 'cause I'm not willing to gamble with my soul, nor am I ready to take any chances. These are just simple life questions and I'm just searching for some answers. Like, what are we doing here? And what is our purpose? How did we get here? And who made us so perfect? And what happens once we go? Or is this world all really worth it? Questions we don't answer because apparently we don't really have to. There's no purpose to this life and our existence is merely natural. Then in that case, please let me ask you, did you create yourself or was it somebody else who had fashioned you? 'Cause you're a being that's impeccable, faultless and unparalleled. You're a product of supreme intelligence and I'm merely being rational. For there isn't a camera on this earth that can come close to the human eye, nor a computer that can compete alongside the human mind. And if the whole world was to come together, we wouldn't be able to create a single fly. So many signs, yet we still deny. As science tries to justify that all this could come from none, when it's a simple sum, 0 + 0 + 0 cannot possibly ever give you one. So from where did all this order come? For everything has its origins, a maker, a creator of its own. I mean, the only reason you're watching this video is because somebody had to press upload. So we can believe in the Big Bang, but I'd rather believe in he who caused it to explode. Allah, the creator of everything along with every single soul. The ever-living, the master, the only one who is in control. Unlike his creation, beyond our imagination. And no, he's not a man, nor does he have any partners in association. He's on his own. And no, he did not ever leave us alone.
Welcome back to Heart and Soul with me, Lauren Booth, here on QF Radio. Joining me today is Kamal Salah of Talk Islam. Welcome back.
Alhamdulillah, good to be back.
Well, we just listened to the meaning of life and those enormous universal questions. The big one, what are we doing here? Did you fall into a depression? Yeah. You said there was a kind of spiritual malaise. Let's talk widely about the spiritual malaise of the age amongst the youth. Is that something you recognise?
Yes, definitely. It's a thing that, you know, many Muslims, you know, are conflicted with constantly, thinking about, you know, how can they actually achieve that, you know, sense of sweetness of Iman that even the Prophet, peace be upon him, used to talk about, how to achieve that. And, you know, it's a quest that we are all searching for.
There will be a lot of non-Muslims listening to this today and perhaps thinking, well, I enjoy music and my life's going on normally, but we reach this stage where we lie in bed and we think one day I'm going to die and I'm not sure why I'm here, mm-hmm. and we push those things away. Did you embrace that?
To be honest with you, I would personally just steer clear away from the discussion about, you know, whether or not music is good for you, whether or not entertainment mm-hmm. is good for you. I think the main aspect that we should focus on, or at least that I focused on and which really helped me, was really the verse in the Quran which says, you know, in the remembrance of Allah, the hearts find rest. And, you know, consequently, another verse in the Quran, it says, you know, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. Whoever, you know, refrains from my remembrance and stays away from my remembrance, he would have a life of emptiness. So, you know, on one hand, we have the verse which says, in the remembrance of God, hearts find rest. And in another verse it says, those who refrain from the remembrance of God, they'll have a life of emptiness. And many could argue, yeah, you know, we can, you know, beat around the bush, oh, I'm still happy and I don't know God. But at the end of the day, we all have this emptiness within our hearts. And this is the way we've been created. You know, a deep inner just want and eagerness to know why we're here. An eagerness to know what is our ultimate purpose. Is our purpose to become famous? Is our purpose to become rich? Is our purpose to become known? What is the purpose? You know, Alexander the Great, I think it was, he said, you know, bury me with my palms open, so people could know I had everything in this life, but I leave empty-handed.
Mm.
So, you know, it can't possibly be for the quest of fame or popularity or wealth, because all these things are destined to go. There must be something which prolongs and just exceeds and goes on forever and ever and ever, a really, really eternal meaning to this life. And, you know, as Muslims, we are proud to say that we do have the answer, and that is, you know, this life is the temporary abode, and the hereafter is the one that lasts forever.
Drugs are an increasing problem. You're in Australia, and you see people around you perhaps contacting you because of your wonderful poetry. Can you share some of the stories of people being able to move away from that difficulty in their lives?
Look, drugs is a very, very, very difficult topic to speak about, because, you know, it's not easy to give up something which, in a sense, has control over you. You know, we can talk about rehab, we can talk about, you know, different methods that, you know, the government might recommend or these social services might recommend. And look, you know, some should be treated with such outlets, but those, let's say, those who take recreational drugs and on occasion, we should ask them, you know, do they truly find happiness in such a life? Do they truly find, you know, an output for their desires through such drugs? Because we know, you know, these things are only temporal. We can use them just to fade away our misery or whatever we might have throughout the week. But the more we give in to our desires, yes, it might give us a temporary relief. It'll just go a strong. It'll gain a stronger grasp over us. So we should always remind ourselves, you know, we don't want to give in to such a lifestyle, because these things can really, really destroy us in the long run. And I know, you know, many, many stories of people who have just lost, you know, their lives, whether it's been they've actually died from these things, or they've broken down their families due to these things, or they've just, you know, cut away from the community. And these things really, really can destroy a person, not only spiritually, but, you know, physically as well, unfortunately.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and our families and our communities. I just want to finally ask you about your wonderful response to online attacks about the Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, and this very strong, powerful piece called Not My Prophet. Talk to us a bit about how Muhammad inspires you today and what inspired you to write that piece.
A while ago, I actually had someone approach me. I was sitting in the cafe, I was with my friend who's a convert to Islam, which is quite ironic when we look at the situation. Mm. I was actually approached by a man. He walked up to me and he had recognized me from one of my videos. And me being who I am, I was like, you know, embracing him, being kind and everything, until he said to me, you know, I've watched your videos. And I asked him, oh, did you like my videos? And long story short, he says, no. And I'm like, okay, then, you know, whatever suits you. And then he says to me, he goes, look, just so you know, I'm not a Muslim. I said, look, that's fine. And then he goes, look, I've actually left Islam. Mm. And then it, you know, finally made sense to me why this was happening. And then I said to him, oh, so why did you leave Islam? And he said to me, oh, look, I left Islam because I hear you guys talk about peace, I hear you guys talk about love, I hear you guys talk about unity, but all I see is, you know, the complete opposite. I see hatred, I see division, I see, you know, crimes committed in the name of your religion. And it's really, really struck a chord with me. Not only because I know for a fact that, you know, what he's saying is not, you know, an actually authentic representation of Islam or an actual reflection of the Muslim Ummah, because, look, I know very well that, you know, the majority of our Ummah are wonderful people, you know, kind-hearted, beautiful, loving people. And obviously, he's obviously been affected by whether it's mainstream media or Islamophobic, you know, imagery that's been flooded into his, you know, his media. But I said to him, look, you know, you really need to judge Islam based on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, read his life, read his biography, read his, you know, his sunnah, his prophetic traditions, his ways, his sayings, and you will see that everything that you're saying is completely contradictory to what the religion actually teaches and what the religion is actually meant to produce. And, you know, we had somewhat of a discussion, but when I produced the poem, Nothing to Do with My Prophet, this was just a poem to illustrate exactly who the man was.
It's quite an angry piece. It's quite an angry piece.
I guess you could say, look, I was...
Or passionate, there. Passionate.
I was, look, and angry. I don't deny that I was angry. I am quite fed up seeing, you know, the way the Prophet, peace be upon him, is being misrepresented, not only by, you know, Islamophobic media, but unfortunately some, you know, misguided individuals who think they know who the Prophet was, but unfortunately they don't. So I was fed up, and, you know, I've learned about the Prophet. I've read his biography. I've sat with scholars who, you know, who've taught his biography, who've taught who the man was, and these actual scholars who have studied the tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who actually have links back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And, you know, when I come to speak about this topic, I do get a bit passionate, because it is, you know, something that deeply affects me, knowing that the Prophet, peace be upon him, can be, you know, so, you know, misrepresented for who he truly was. You know, a man who was able to forgive people that not any normal human being could forgive. I mean, this is a man who was able to forgive someone who killed his uncle, a man who was able to forgive someone who mutilated the body of his uncle, a man who was able to forgive people who had tried to kill him on countless occasions. You know, this isn't any ordinary man we speak of. So when we see people who say, you know, your religion is a religion of barbarity and a religion that preaches evil, it's so ironic when you look at what they say and look at who the man actually was.
So,
and I tried to present this piece very, you know, balanced, and alhamdulillah, I think, you know, as Allah is my witness, I hope, you know, he accepts.
May Allah reward you. That's all we have time for. If people want to find your work and more inspirational poetry and thoughts, where can they go to?
You can follow me on YouTube at Talk Islam, and also on Facebook. I post a few reminders there. And everything is from the tawfiq of Allah, so I just ask you to keep me in your prayers and in your dua.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and all of your brothers and sisters out there in Australia doing such great work. Jazakallah khair for joining us.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother. Masalama. You've been listening to Heart and Soul with me, Lauren Booth. More at the same time tomorrow. The producer for this series is Ihab Al-Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum.